humbling experience anytime you get to present the Word of God. This is our standard. This is what unites us. This is what we've all professed to love. And therefore, I'm humbled at the opportunity to present God's Word this evening. Luke chapter 5. And Jesus, at this point in His ministry, though early, He has stirred up the people. They're not really happy about the crowds that are starting to follow Him. And so they're going to try to ridicule those who are following Him. And by ridiculing, they're going to discredit His followers. And by discrediting His followers, they will discredit Jesus. And then they're right where they want to be. They're back in power. So they have a question here in verse 33. And they said to Him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Jesus answers them with a question, as He often does. But in this question, he points out that all of the other followers, those of the Pharisee and those of John, are looking for the Messiah. And they're fasting in wait for the Messiah to be there. They're fasting that it may draw them closer to the Lord, if they're doing it correctly. We know many of the Pharisees wouldn't do it for the correct reasons, but they would do it for show. But let's say they were doing it for the proper reasons. They're fasting to be more drawn closely to God and looking forward to the Messiah coming. And what Jesus says is, the Messiah is in front of My disciples. This is the time for them to rejoice. There will be a time when I am gone. And there will be a time for mourning, but it's not today, because the bridegroom is here. And so in His answering of the question, He establishes His position as who He really is, which is the Anointed One and the Holy One of God. "Who are you to question Me?" That's what He says to those asking this question. And as He continues, He has more that He wants them to understand. Starting in verse 36, He told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says the old is good." My argument tonight is, unless we're born again, unless we're truly born again, we're going to make a bigger mess of the situation than we had before. Unless we truly convert, playing the part of a Christian will cause more damage than if we'd have just lived our lives in sin. And here's what I mean by that. As it pertains to the garment that we have here, there's a tear in the garment. And they want to fix the tear that's in the garment. And so Jesus says in the parable, He says they take a new piece of cloth and they put it on this old and torn garment and they put the patch there. Well, they put the patch there without shrinking it. We all know that cotton and different fabrics that make clothes, they shrink when they're worn and washed. Well, you just put a new piece of fabric on there that had not been shrank. And you're trying to patch that. And when you wash it, it shrinks. And it causes a bigger issue than you had before. Because now you have to go in and cut out the old patch. Find the proper patch. You've got more work to do than if you would have just done it right in the first place. What many of those in the day of Jesus were trying to do, well, they were trying to play religion, right? They were trying to look good before men, and they were never truly converted. And they were causing issues. And let's think about the wineskin. You've got the old wineskin. And what they would do is they'd put the new wine in the wineskins and it would ferment. When it ferments, it expands. We're all familiar with old leather. You got a baseball glove that you've had put away for years and years. You go and get it and it doesn't fit like a glove anymore. It's dried up. It's not as bendable as it used to be when it was new. You had to put oil on it and you had to bring it back to life. What Jesus says is no one would ever put new wine in an old wineskin. That brittle and fragile leather, no one would ever do that. Because what happens? As that wine ferments, the wineskin expands. And what does he say happens? The wine bursts forth and it makes an awful mess. You lost the wine that you at one point had. So you can't put a new life into the old body, or else you'll lose the new life. And too many people are trying to play the part of a Christian without putting to death the old life. And what happens is you end up with a bigger mess than you had before, and you lose more than you thought you were really going to lose because you were playing the part, and you were never truly converted. We need to examine our lives. What old wineskins do we have that we're still holding on to? They were a part of the old life. Well, pride was a part of the old life, and it served me well. And I'm going to keep that as a part of this one. Has that ever caused any problems in trying to convert people to the gospel? Your pride and your arrogance, and you making sure they understand how much you know about the Bible, and hang on a second. It could be that you're doing more damage by trying to present the gospel with pride than if you just kept your mouth shut in the first place. And there's a lot of other things going on in our lives that we probably need to just put away and count it as an old skin and understand that the new wine has no place in an old wineskin. I want us to look at three examples of that happening in people's lives where they had some of the old and they were trying to make it anew. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. First example we're going to look at is Apollos. Now, Apollos was doing what he was doing out of ignorance. And I have a great deal of respect for Apollos and the way he responded to the correction here. But he had a portion of his old life that he was trying to make a part of his new life. And what Aquila and Priscilla noticed was it wasn't going to work. Now, Apollos was an eloquent man, strong in speech. Apollos was so strong in speech. I want us to think about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when Paul writes to them and he talks about the divisions are wrong, he says, some say I am of Cephas or Peter. Some say I am of Paul. Others say I'm of Apollos. Now, which of those three does not belong? The first two could perform miracles. The first two were apostles of Jesus Christ. The third was eloquent in speech, powerful with persuasion, and could lead a great number to the gospel. What if he had never put away the old wineskin? What if he had never thrown away that old doctrine that he was holding on to? What damage could he have done? But instead, the Lord saw to it that he would be introduced to two humble, loving servants of his in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. And so now he's teaching the truth more accurately. He's corrected what Aquila and Priscilla asked him to correct. What's interesting is just that short period of time where he had not put away the old wineskin, he created some damage, right? He stirred some things up. Acts chapter 19, in verse 1, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I wonder why. Because in the baptism of John, it's not linked to the Holy Spirit as the baptism of Jesus is. In Acts chapter 2, Peter tells us, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Apollos was not preaching this. And so now what does Paul have to do? He has to take them back to the beginning. Verse 3, and he said, into what then were you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. He was starting to do a work. And he was doing a work with the old wineskin still intact. And he was leading people astray. He was leading them in a way that was not pleasing to God. It was not in accordance with the totality of the Scriptures. And by the grace of God, he saw fit that Aquila and Priscilla would see him on that way and correct him. And he would throw away that old wineskin and start doing work and mighty work for God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We have yet a second example. What's interesting is we don't have examples here. These three examples we're using tonight are not terrible human beings. And I'm using these characters to help us examine our lives and understand is that though we may see ourselves as good, what portion of your life are you holding on to that needs to be thrown away? Because again, you stand a chance of making a complete mess of the situation if you don't get this corrected. Because in Galatians chapter 2, who we have under consideration here is Peter, the Apostle Peter. Here's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, and Paul, speaking of Peter, says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. A part of Peter's old life was caring what people thought about him. And wanting to make sure that he fit in just right with the right people. And somehow, in some way, he was convinced that he could still hold on to that and walk according to the way. But what's happened is he didn't throw away the old wineskin. And we've got a mess on our hands. What's happening is, what Paul would say is happening, that the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him. Wouldn't it have been better if he had fully thrown away the old wineskin and he could have led those Jews in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Instead of leading them down a road of hypocrisy. And then what you have is Barnabas, who we know would be a great companion of Paul and do great work in the kingdom. What does it say about Barnabas? Because of the actions of Peter and because of him not disposing of that old wineskin and him still holding on to that wanting to fill in portion of his life or wanting to fit in portion of his life, Barnabas was led astray. Peter hadn't thrown all the old wineskins away and it's creating a mess. Here's what's interesting to note. That Paul steps in. Just as Apollos was leading people astray, and he was corrected by Aquila and Priscilla. God saw to it that Peter also was corrected. Verse 14. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Paul corrected him to his face. He reprimanded him and sent him on his way. Again, as Apollos did, doing great work in the kingdom of God. After having thrown away the old wineskin of prejudice and wanting to fit in, thinking that Jews are still somehow better than Gentiles, he threw away that portion of his life. How many Christians are held back in the way they can influence others for the gospel because they still hold prejudice in their life? And they still feel like over here that the truth is there's a portion or there's a group of people in our society that are better than another group of people. How bad of an influence has been ruined over us still holding on to those prejudices and not recognizing them as old wineskins and throwing them away and getting about the business of doing the Lord's work. I think after we've observed these first two that we have to ask ourselves two questions. Actually, three questions. And number one is, what old wineskins need to be thrown away? What old wineskins do we have in our lives that need to be thrown away? We kind of addressed that. But here's question number two and three. Who is in our lives that's going to hold us accountable? Who is in our life that's going to hold us accountable? Or are we running from those people who would hold us accountable? Had it not been for Aquila and Priscilla, where would Apollos have been? Had it not been for Paul, where would Peter have been? So here's the other question we have to ask ourselves. Who is in our lives that we need to love enough to help them get rid of the old wineskins? Who is that in your life that you need to show enough love to that you're going to help them get rid of all the old wineskins that they're holding on to? It has to be done with love on both sides. But what we don't have recorded for us by the Holy Spirit is a rift between Peter and Paul. An ongoing rift because Peter said, he corrected me in front of all those people and he questioned me. I'm an apostle. How dare he do that? Never happened. Holy Spirit doesn't record that. What also is not recorded is Apollos going through and saying, I tell you, there's a lot of good Christians, but two that aren't, Aquila and Priscilla. They stood up to me. They're just a bunch of tent builders, and they stood up to me and acted like they knew the Scriptures better than me. No. There were two parties that loved the Lord, and they loved the work of the Lord enough to make sure that everybody involved and everybody trying to move this kingdom forward was willing to throw away the old wineskins. And so, brethren, we don't need to run away from people who want to try to encourage us to do away with the old wineskins. We need to embrace that and see that as the Word of God being put before us and allowing us to do what we should have done a long time ago. Because if we don't get this stuff corrected, we're going to have a mess on our hands. And it's going to take a lot of work to get everything cleaned up. I want to turn to our last example. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Get down here and talk because this one looks a little bit more like us. This is Judas. He still held on to that old wineskin. He tried to put a new life in the old wineskin. And boy, did he make a mess. He had everybody fooled. He said all the right things. He went to all the right places. He amened at the right time. And he had everybody fooled. Because here at the Last Supper, Matthew chapter 26, verse 20, when he was eating, he reclined at the table of the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" What the Holy Spirit does not record for us is it says that they said one after another, "It's Judas. I know it's him. He's nothing but a rotten scoundrel. I know it's him." Here's what they thought. It's more likely me rather than it is him. Judas had every one of them fooled, and maybe even himself fooled. But what Judas had tried to do all along was to fit the new life into the old wineskin. And there's no way it's going to work. If you try to do that, you'll lose the new wine. Verse 23, and he answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." It had been better if he had never started. If he was going to be nothing but a hypocrite, it had been better if he had just stayed where he was. It's just better if you don't play the Christian. If you're not going to be fully converted, it's just better to not play the game. Because that will profit you nothing. And the damage that you can do to the local church, the damage that you can do to your family by playing the game, is sometimes unrecoverable. So Jesus says it'd been better if he had never been born. Verse 25, Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Judas had religion, but he had no relationship. Judas had seen Jesus and could pick him out of a lineup. That's what the Pharisees needed. They needed somebody who had seen Jesus. He had seen Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know Jesus, and we're going to notice that further. He knew what Jesus had done. He could tell you about the actions. He could tell you about the miracles that he had witnessed, but he didn't understand the mission. He had spent all that time with him, and he never knew him. Because he had all of this wrapped up in an old wineskin. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 3. I'm convinced he didn't know Jesus. And the old man was still alive and well. Because this old man that we witness in Judas is an old man I'm familiar with. This looks a lot like me. He'd made a mess of things. He had messed things up greatly. And you know what he said? "I can fix it. I can do enough. I can give the money back and I can cry and I can do it and I can fix it on my own because I'm man enough to fix the problem." Judas, that's the old man talking. You ain't man enough to do it. You can't repair the relationship that you've broken. You cannot do it, Judas. Only the Jesus whom you betrayed can fix the problems that you've created. Humble yourselves today before him and allow him to make your life new. Judas would have none of that. Matthew 27 and verse 3. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourselves. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed. And knowing that he couldn't fix the problem himself, knowing he was too prideful to crawl on his hands and knees and kiss the feet of Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and ask him to restore him and say, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, restore me. He made an even bigger mess of this situation. And the Holy Spirit says for us, and he went and hanged himself. All because he tried to man up and fix the problem himself. He had played religion with the old man, and it will not work. What old wineskins are you still holding on to? What of your life needs to be done away with tonight? If some of those old wineskins have caused you to sin against the congregation and you've done things in a public manner, come forward tonight. We'll pray on your behalf and we'll call upon the merciful Jesus the Christ, and he can repair all things. A message that we wish Judas would have believed. If you've not yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's ready to make you new by the power of his blood. And you come into contact with the power of his blood through the watery graves of baptism. Whatever you need to do tonight to be right with God, I pray that you'll do so as together we stand and as we sing.